All right, Token Smart Podcast. I don't even know what episode we're on. Episode 5, 6 or something, season 3. Week before the Met Olympics coming up. Another awesome whip coming up this week and some cool NFT community stuff going on. I don't know if you saw. Did you guys see Ben Haley's video that he released? We've been cooking this up like secretly for a little while now without like any total idea of what he was going to come out with. And I caught it quickly last night. I was trying to avoid the computer for the most part for the weekend and everything just to preserve my sanity. But we saw that pop up and couldn't resist checking it out. And it's exactly what I feel like my video would be if I were doing the same thing. It's ridiculously narcissistic. It's exactly like, how much Ben Haley do you have in your life? Not enough. He's going to give you more all the time and be right up in your face about it. And I got to say, man, the production quality was really high. This is sort of like a shot in the dark, but we knew he's like a solid dude, and we're going to give him some stuff to run with. And he's been in cahoots with Dab Dragon. I don't know if that's still top secret information, but I guess it's not anymore. So,
Not now.
yeah, man. So you guys see it? I'm stoked to see what's coming up the pike. I really had no idea what to expect.
No, I haven't really seen it, but I mean, I've seen Ben Healy in the Discord a lot and stuff like that. So it sounds awesome. Sweet. I'll have to check it out.
Yep, I saw it. Really looking forward to it. I had pinged him a week out or a week ago, just seeing like how everything was going. I know he was lining up some office space and getting all the materials and stuff like that ready to get going with recording. And the other day he pinged me. He's like, "Okay, I need some real quick information. I'm making the intro video. Give it to me. Hurry up. Time sensitive. Sorry." And I was like, "Okay, sure. I love it." And then I saw the video. I'm like, "Yes, this is very cool. Awesome, awesome direction. I think it's a really good start." And yeah, nothing but high expectations for what Ben and crew are going to be cooking up and putting out for us over the next several months.
This is one of our first like quasi whip sponsored like
It's not
side
quasi,
ventures
it is the
or
it's with
yeah, well,
sponsored.
I mean, quasi, I say that to say it's not like we've got a massive production budget that we're
Yeah.
like, you know, funding Ben with or whatever. We like basically are helping them out to just bootstrap something that he really wanted to get off the ground himself anyway. And happy to do it, man. I feel like it'll be a great addition to all the stuff that we've been building out. And Ben building out, no Ben pun intended, but I don't know, man. I have a feeling if this is how he's coming out of the gate, we're going to be seeing a lot more of Ben like all up in our grills moving forward. Yeah, Trisley, don't worry. If you missed it, we won't miss out too much soon, I have a feeling. So cool. Dude, the whip last week was fire, right? I mean, it was like cranking from start to finish. The speaker lineup was ridiculously legit. And you know, not to take anything away from the speakers, because you know, of all the projects out there, I feel like this is one of our most stacked lineups to date. That just in terms of things that people are most interested in hearing about of what's going on in the NFT space. But dude, the highlight of the whip for me was Sho's hot takes, man. And I was bothering Sho afterwards. I'm like, dude, you need your own spin-off show. He's probably gonna kill me for saying this publicly, like I'm calling him out. I don't think he wants to do it, but I'm like, dude, Show's hot takes should be a thing, like on the regular,
And
right?
that's
He
the
just
name
came
right
in, it
there.
was like straight fire.
That was awesome. You just gave him the name right there. Show's hot takes.
I
Yeah.
agree.
I mean, I
man, we got a
seems like it
logo
should be like a
already.
griddle or like a frying pan or
Oh
something,
yeah.
right?
And you can do a little guitar
Dude,
riff.
it was
He's got an
bleeding
apt
into
name
his
for
questions.
it.
His hot takes are bleeding like right into the whip, which I kind of like, man. I kind of like that, like you know, when you agree to speak on the whip, you know, you're sort of in our house on our turf, and we've got our question dude hyped up, and we don't necessarily know what he's going to come out with. He may like put your feet to the fire. And I like that shit, man. I don't know if that's like totally an appropriate format for something like this, but seeing as how we're creating our own thing and doing whatever we want, I like embracing this.
You know, it's interesting that it pushes, it pushes something that I don't see a lot in the space, and that I've noticed the more I get on Twitter, the more I spread out to other social media stuff. There's, I mean, it's happening in the real world constantly, all this PC stuff. So, and the same thing is bleeding into our projects, where people are afraid to come out and ask about pretty serious questions. They just sort of take your word at it. Well, this must be a smart developer. He must know what's up, right? And then they're just like, yeah, I'll buy in. Like, no, I want somebody to come by and start asking hard questions that maybe make you feel uncomfortable, right? Play the devil's advocate. I want to hear what this developer has to say, or what the community has to say, right? It's hard. It's stepping out of your comfort zone, but.
Dude, yes. I mean, to me, that was like the brilliance of what Sho did, is because he established himself as someone who is going to take the controversial stance just for the sake of generating conversation and, you know, getting people to talk and everything. And that's different than just being like a shit starter and like, or like a troll or whatever, right? He's like, this is sort of the purpose of this. I'm trying to generate dialogue. I'm trying to generate conversation. I don't necessarily agree with the stance I'm going to take, but here's my stance. And then he's going to like yell it in your face until he gets a response out of you.
I feel like the format is a really great antidote for a lot of like the passive acceptance, I think, that Chislett was talking about. But more than that, like within the context of the whip, again, one of his other aims for setting up the AFTIs was to get people to unmute themselves so that they can kind of like join in and add their voice to that week's whip. And the number of people that are sticking around for the AFTIs is pretty sweet. Last week, I think it was like 90, it was close to 100 in the Discord. That were just chilling there, kind of shooting the shit, waiting to kind of listen to what someone said next. And every single week, there's not a lot of extra new voices, but there's reliably like 1, 2, 3 extra new voices that pop in and give their opinion. Last week, I remember like Yeet Pay or someone sticking around and chiming in more than a few times. So I love seeing that, the fact that names or like avatars that I've seen floating around or communicating in Discord kind of jump in and share their voice with everyone else so that everyone can kind of get a richer, fuller picture of who they are. I love that. And that's perfect. And you don't see that anywhere else in any of these other like virtual events. It's always speaker, 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 maybe a question and answer period, done. Okay, bye folks, done. Like this is really, really upping the game and setting a higher bar for real live audience participation in these sorts of events. So I love to see that too.
It's totally amazing. It's just, we've talked about that before, about the community, that not just the whip, but the whole crypto community is like, there's tons of individuals who are goddamn smart. Like, you know, they're really intelligent. They're interesting. They've got different opinions. They've got, you know, but it's also a supportive community. So it's some of the, you know, we have a couple of people who just talk all the time anyway. You know, it's like sometimes I have trouble keeping my mouth shut and I just talk forever. But hearing people who don't do that come out of the woodwork and start talking, you're like, wow, you need to talk. I want to hear more from you.
Yeah.
Dude, 100%. I mean, when I go to like, you know, in real life conferences or whatever, I live for like that kind of thing. I mean, you can probably tell by my like super unprofessional like banter in the chat box while like the very professional presentations are going on. Like I'm absolutely that guy in real life presentations, like running my mouth to the person next to me about like, you know, some like loosely related thing or like cracking a joke. And then afterwards, I want to hang out with my buddies and talk a bunch of shit on like exactly what we just saw in like a super loose, like, you know, just, you know, hang back and banter type of format. And I gotta say, I don't know if it was on purpose either, but how Sho closed it was just as good as how he started it. He was just like, all right, we're done. Go home. And then, I don't know if he logged off or like whatever, but for a second, everyone was just like, okay, I guess that's it. Sho declared the show was over and he disappeared. And then like immediately like 50 people like signed off simultaneously or whatever. It's like, all right, Sho has decided that it's time for us to move on to other things now. Fucking loved every single second of it, man. So good.
That was good. I was just, at the end, I thought of that. I could, you, I was just, I was picturing everybody's stunned silences. You know, they're all, what? Because I hung around a little bit and I was like, oh, wait, I wanted to talk some more. And then it's like, nope, nope, you don't. Sorry. No. Show said you can't.
You had your time. The show is closed. Go home, dude. No, man, I feel like it's been coming for weeks, and you know, we've been trying to work him into the fold and successfully, but it's continued to get better and better every single week. His questions are good. The after party thing is good. But this past week in particular, I felt like, oh my God, a star is born. Yep. We need more of this, like, all the time at all the things. So he might murder me for continuing to bang this home, because I messaged him like two or three times and he just stopped getting back to me. I'm like, show. this needs to be a thing, dude. It's gotta be. I'm gonna manifest it. So what do we got coming up this week, man? This is like sort of the last big week before the big Met Olympics kick off next week. And I guess I should preface this by saying, y'all are running out of time. If you want to get a banner in Met Olympics campus, I can shoot you a link, or I'm sure people who are at the listening party are able to shoot you a link too. But I've got people flooding my inboxes with screenshots of where they want a banner hung. And truly trying to, like, keep this, you know, as inclusive as possible. And anyone who wants to sponsor something, you know, can in some capacity. So hit me up with anyone who wants to get in some way, or sponsor prize, or like whatever. We're trying to button up all these details, because we're coming next week. But in the meantime, we got one more to focus on this week. What details we got, man?
Hey, man, we have big fan favorite Micah Johnson coming back. Yeah. He has an insane piece that he's going to be dropping over on Async later this week. So he's going to be talking about that and all the stuff behind it. It's seriously insane. There's so many layers to this. This is like a 12-year horizon artwork. It's kind of blowing my mind in terms of the concept. But we have Micah there, Brian Flynn of the Jam Session. Formerly, he had a newsletter focused entirely on NFTs. He was one of the OGs in the space talking about that really seriously before he went over to Dapper Labs. And now he's doing his own thing with social tokens and the Jam Session newsletter. So we'll be talking about that. Tyler from the DeFi risk protocol Barnbridge is going to be there talking about that, which recently had a big announcement last week. And we have Kitty Bast, another crypto artist who just had a massive, like, 40 ETH or 40 plus ETH sale on Async. And then Crypto Art Week 2020 is kicking off this week. Cody will be stopping by and letting folks know what the deal is with that. And yeah, I mean, that's the speaker list for this week, working on the potential hosting situation and after party. So those details are still TBD. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, like, we sold out super quick of the Whip Moment drop last week. So I feel like we're over the weekend, Rizzo and I were batting a couple ideas back and forth of how to kind of satisfy the demand and how to approach that whole situation. So I think that's kind of an interesting conversation too.
Yeah, we could pitch that to the crowd tonight and see what they think. We were basically talking about edition size and price compared to the amount of Whip coins that are out in distribution. But I thought we settled this conversation because I was deemed to be the one who dunked on you. And so then I get to be the decision maker in all, like, Whip moments. No, I'm just kidding. That was a fun one, man. I would love to do, all jokes aside, would love to, like, include more, like, goofy banter and things in these Whip moments moving forward. And, you know, absolutely willing to crowdsource some of these ideas if people who are listening to this have cool ideas. But I don't know, man. I mean, we flew through 30 Whip moments in the span of like an hour or two or something like that. And the same thing the week before and the week before that, I think, was the run of 20 that lasted not very long either. So, I mean, that's the rub, right? Is like, you know, people seem to genuinely want these things because they were there. And in a lot of cases, like, actually pictured in the Whip moments, which is cool. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, part of me wants to, like, you know, cater to the scarcity and have them be like a highly desirable thing. At the same time, I also feel bad if someone was like at one of these things and was like, shit, I really wanted a whip moment and I wasn't able to get one. And now, like, you know, Dragonate put his on the market for like 10 ETH and that's the only one available or some shit. And we do have like a lot of wearables in the shop that are starting to sell now. And now that wearable minting is allegedly going to be fixed soon, we got a ton of Metalympics wearables that we're also going to dump into the whip store at super affordable price points. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's sort of like a tricky balance with the whip moments. And it's a cool problem to have. I mean, they're very desirable, which is awesome. I mean, that was the goal. And I certainly buy them without any intention on flipping them. Although I do sometimes think maybe I should buy two just to have one if that does become a good option down the line. But then I'm back to square one where I'm like, oh man, I'm like the host of this thing. I don't want to be the guy like taking away all the whip moments from people who like want one just because they were there. What are your guys' thoughts?
So one of the ideas that we had talked about before, and I pitched this to Paradox and Tripyogi, was the idea of this kind of like three-tier editioning system. So I don't know if you go to Nifty Gateway, some of the drops where like Trevor Jones, he had his Bitcoin bull that was like a gold, silver, and bronze edition. Gold being like a 1-of-1, silver being like a larger edition count, and then bronze being larger still. For us, the idea of like having a gold, silver, and like pink stratification, so that each week maybe we do one whip moment, but the background is different. So we have like a nice gold banner, nice silver banner of to stamp it a whip moment, and then the same thing with the pink one. Could be an approach, or just do like three different whip moments, with one being the super rare, one being a little bit less exclusive, and the other one being like anyone that really wants one of those moments can scoop a pink one or something like that, is another potential approach.
No, I don't think that's a bad idea at all, man. I also like the idea of having like doing some like just limited edition whip moments that are exclusive ones, like maybe all signed by the whip crew or something like that. I really want to do, we've been kicking around this idea of doing like a whip crew podcast for a while, and the logistics are just a nightmare. Like, you know, we had also kicked around the idea of having everyone at Easy's listening party afterwards to sort of, you know, do like a live thing or something. And I don't know like what exactly the format is, but having like, you know, roughly 12 people to coordinate something like that with is very, very difficult. But, you know, people outside of the whip crew have asked for something like that as well. So we got to figure out something, man. I don't know if it's like, maybe we have everyone like individually record a couple minutes and we give them some questions and then we can stitch it all together and talk about it here or something. But would really like to do something like that. And I like how the whip crew has been getting some of these whip moments, like, you know, ahead of time too. It's cool to be able to give them something on the side and look out for them for all their help. But I don't know, man, how do you get like a 12 person podcast coordinated? We haven't quite figured that out.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were doing something this week, but the coordination, like in the whip crew channel, is just like, even if it works for everyone, there's like one or two people, it just, because of the time zones, I mean, we're working with people all around the world. We have a really small window when everyone kind of aligns. So it's really hard to thread that needle.
And it just happens to be at 3 p.m. on Thursdays. It's like the only time at the whip is when it all aligns.
Exactly.
Sorry,
exactly.
Man. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. I mean, that's like another possible or a possibility to do it around the whip, or I don't know, splitting it into two cohorts or something like that. Like early whip crew, later whip crew. I don't know. It's a cool problem to have, but it's definitely, we want to give people, we want to give the whip crew, first of all, just get on the show to talk the shit or talk, shoot the breeze and talk about whatever they want to talk about, and give, because every single week in the guest book, when we, to the question of like, who would you like to hear on the, at a future whip, everyone talks about like folks on the whip crew themselves, right? So like, there's definitely a big demand for this. So I really want to give people the opportunity to listen to everyone on the whip crew too.
You know, Maybe that's the answer, man. Maybe we get like a, you know, a whip crew speaker role just for like, you know, the next 12 weeks or something like that, where everyone, you know, on the whip crew just gets to say hi, introduce themselves, talk a little bit about their involvement and their experience and everything. You know, I don't know. Again, just kicking ideas around, but I do feel like people would genuinely be interested in it because I think it was, I forget who it was actually, that I was talking to, who was basically like, yeah, everyone on the whip crew is so cool, but I don't even know what half of them do. And, you know, I guess when you're in the inner, it sort of seems obvious and you know what everybody does, but I don't think that's totally apparent to outside people. And especially with like someone like Dragonate, whose like job and responsibilities have evolved over time, right? Like, you know, the problems that he was solving in the very beginning are very different than the problems that he was solving now. And, you know, for someone like that, and I think of like him and Easy, who were like there in the very, very beginning. I mean, obviously Trizlet, but you're here with us on the regular, man. So I'm not lumping you into this. But you know, their progression with the whip, you know, from start to now, I think would be very interesting because, you know, there's a handful of people in the audience who every now and again, you see them posting online and be like, damn, I was there 6 months ago when this was like basically an idea. And, you know, now here we are taking massive group shots, you know, on a weekly basis and selling out of whip moments and all this shit. So I don't know, man, we got to continue to tinker around with that idea, but part of the unorganized aspect of organizing this thing is certainly my fault for lack of having any good idea of how to pull this thing together. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
You know, I was just thinking about that, a really interesting side point to that, 'cause it's something I've dealt with in real life a lot. Because I'm an IT professional. I mean, my normal job, I've done it for 20 years at this point. You know, it's like, but I'm a system administrator, so a lot of my work is like server stuff, and I do all like networks, the stuff behind the scenes. So normally nobody ever talks to me, like in my real life job. So I've been laid off multiple times in the past, and the feedback is always, you know, we have no clue what you do, so we can't justify having you here. You know, like, yeah, I mean, that's, it's hard to blame him because I'm like, shit, you're right. It's like, I should have come out here and made sure you knew every time I fixed something. But, you know, you never think about it, right? Because you're the guy in the background making everything run. So, I mean, the same thing is happening. You know, I could see that for some of our whip members, you know, some of the crew and people like, I don't really, you know, I see his name sometimes, but I have no clue what he does. It's like, well, he's doing a lot. I know he's doing a lot. Matt and Rizzle know he's doing it a lot, but maybe, yeah, I could see why you wouldn't think that. It's an interesting issue, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to concur with what the suggestion Rizzle had said, and I feel like that's a really strong point too, Trizla. Just to, we need to do a better job. We always shout everyone out, but like, we got to do a better job of helping everyone else understand like the all the contributions that every member of the whip crew does. And like, if we can't get a time to work, I definitely feel like carving out a portion of the whip and at least highlighting one person each whip would be dope for everyone involved, so that people can understand what goes into each of the roles. And then I feel like the backstory of how all of them came to be a part of the whip crew is all like slightly unique and interesting. And I feel like if anyone is in crypto looking for like that foothold to get into the space and start doing something more actively, all their individual stories are just like great examples for people to inspire them to do more in the space and potentially get more folks to try to hop into the whip crew themselves if they have other skills or ideas for how they can contribute.
Dude, I agree. I feel like this is a cool idea. And and then in that same way, like if someone is unable to be there or prefers not to do like the public live speaking or whatever, they can prepare some statement that one of us could read on their behalf, much like we have for other like presenters and projects and everything. And that was my other like hesitation in doing like a 12-man podcast or whatever. Like, I feel like everyone does deserve their spot, their time in the spotlight. And with that many people, it's like, how do you do that, man? Right. Someone has to go first. Someone has to go last. There's like a lot of content to cram in there. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we should do like a spotlight on whip crew spotlight, each whip that's but brief, but you know, inclusive and captures everything that's gone into it. Cause, actually it's happened several times now, people who are interested in sponsoring the entire whip, and I start telling them what goes into it on the back end, and that we literally have a 12 person crew that it takes to pull these things off each week. And they're sort of blown away. And, you know, I guess people think like virtual equals more simple because, you know, you just log in and flip on your webcam. But I mean, we've all been to conferences and trainings and shit that's organized like in a horrible way that way. And, you know, I just did one a couple weeks ago where, you know, I'm supposed to be taking questions from the audience, but the questions are hosted on a totally separate platform. And there's no one pulling questions from those platforms to bring it over the, you know, to the other place. And it wasn't like, you know, expressed clearly. So, you know, we've spent a long time sort of like refining our chops and make this look easy. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of things going on the back end to make that happen.
I was just reminded on Twitter, Jim actually mentioned something about that, I think, right? Like he was talking about a DAO, you know, if you had a DAO and you had a bunch of money and you were trying to figure out who to reward on the back end team and how to make a project grow, you know, and it's one of the options he had was definitely about providing more funding for support back end stuff to keep the things going. And it's like, that's a really good point. Cause a lot of crypto is cool because the developers take front stage, right? All of a sudden, these are the people that usually wouldn't, but now you've got a way for these people to come out. Now it's not just the CEO, the great speaker CEO coming out. Now it's like the dev can be flashy and big too, but there's still there's a giant team behind that. And if you think you don't need those people and you do go it on your own, I'm like, you're not going to have a very long-term project. You know, you quickly find out just how overwhelming all the back-end stuff is. So, like, these are all the unsung heroes people talk about, right? So giving them a way to come out, show what they're doing, make sure they feel appreciated. It also, we keep asking the community, you know, if you've got an idea and you want to see it happen, you know, or you think you could help, whatever, it doesn't matter. By hearing what other people do, maybe somebody will say, oh, wow, maybe, you know, I'm not a Rizzle, but, you know, I might be able to be a Trizlet, maybe, you know, that.
right.
Even you could be a Trizlet, maybe not a Rizzle.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Yo, if we're running with this, I think you're up first, man. I mean, if we're going in order of, you know, people hopping on board with the whip crew, you know, Matthew and I are a given, but I feel like you were right next in line and hopping on this podcast with us and helping us do a lot of the back end stuff, getting that organized. So that seems like that would make the most sense, right? We just go in order of how people hopped on board, and it's just sort of the natural progression of the whip, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't really need the fanfare. Like, I could care less, but like, I just like fixing stuff and working in the background, which is why, you know, it never becomes a problem. But that may not be the case for everybody. You know, it's a public affirmation. Can go a long way.
Dude, I don't think anyone can be a Trizlet, man. I think you're selling yourself short. You're making it sound easy, and that's good. We'll let people think it's like an obtainable goal to work towards being a Trizlet, but shit, dude, I mean, your contribution has been priceless and certainly wouldn't be here without you. And same goes for everybody, man. I mean, everybody was brought in because they really have like a specialized either skill set or like extreme desire to figure out that skill set and just contribute to the team. And I feel like that's like the other thing that really unites us, is that we're all like super fans of what we're doing and didn't like pull anybody in from the outside and was like, yo, we need someone to do this. Can you figure this out? It was all like from the inner, which is, in my opinion, makes it like super special and also interesting to hear from them, like why they wanted to get on board and everything in the first place. So, well, cool. This is one of the things I wanted to figure out this week. I'm glad we were able to do it live, like right here.
Yeah, I'm excited for that sort of thing. I mean, I love the whole team, the attitude of people. And hiring decisions in the past, I've always gone the route of you hire for the attitude, not like technical stuff. Anybody can learn how to do the technical side if they have the will. But if they don't have the attitude, then you're never going to teach them to have a better attitude, dude.
Agree, man.
For sure.
What do we got this week? Aside from the whip, we got anything else we got to shout out before we close the show style?
You think you can get to that level? Go for it. I want to hear Matt yell at me.
Go ahead and shut it down.
All right. Done. See you guys later.
All right. Later, boys.
Mic drop.